Between 1996 and 1998, I suffered a lot of traumatic events in my personal life. I struggled with depression for several years, and I had to put world problems aside again. I was able to keep teaching the music lessons, and I had to spend every other spare minute trying to understand myself and my relationship to significant others. My music studio supported me, and the teaching wasn't stressful. A school teaching job would probably have been much too stressful. I still had the garden. I made all my food from scratch, and I could spare a few dollars to help my kids who had all left home by this time. And then it seemed very sudden to me, but in the late 1990s, thousands of other people were thinking about immoral economics. And they were undertaking major actions at events like World Trade Organization meetings and G7 and G8 leaders meetings. And I was out of commission. I was forced to take time out for the next 10 years to examine myself. It seemed incomprehensible and so unfair that right when other people were finally interested, I couldn't join in. I was doing therapy, and I joined a Jungian study group that was giving me tools for understanding myself. I have a small group of two friends. The three of us started out as a spiritual journeys group where we really shared the deep things in our lives with each other. We've been doing this for a number of years now. In 2008 and 2009, we decided to work our way through the Sacred Contracts workbook written by Caroline Mace, where we had to answer a lot of questions about ourselves. It took a long time, maybe a year and a half. But the process of having done that really helped facilitate the preparation of this lecture, because it highlighted for me how my spiritual leading to search for a moral economy has been central in my life. I still had some unanswered questions. And last fall, my friend and fellow Quaker, Peggy Hope Simpson, showed up at my back door with a couple of books. And one of them explained for me how we could espouse both Christian values and an economy based on greed. The book is Rebalancing the World by Carol Lee Flinders. This book presents a paradigm for understanding economy and religion based on values. Flinders is an American writer and uses a lot of social anthropology research as a basis for this book. She defines a value as a force in consciousness closely connected with desire that shapes the choices we make. Her thesis is that when humans lived by foraging, which was for our first several million years of existence, we developed a culture of belonging. In the last 10,000 years, the development of agriculture has led to a culture of enterprise. She compares and contrasts in the book the different and opposing sets of values of these two cultures. In the culture of belonging, she says, the individual's best hope for survival lay in connection with a group. And this meant that activities and behaviors that fostered cooperation between members of the group were as crucial to survival as foraging itself. The idea of mastery was born with agriculture, mastery as opposed to connection. And from that idea flowed an altogether new set of values, the values of enterprise. For the farmer, land, animals, and even human beings were resources that he must bring under control. And the man most adept at exploiting those resources was rewarded. He was rewarded, too, for his own industry. Once food surpluses could be produced and stored, they could be bartered as well for goods, animals, more land, or the services of others. The concept of ownership took on new meaning, and so did the concept of poverty. Social and economic inequities divided humanity. So I just want to go down the list with you quickly. The culture of belonging valued connection with land. The culture of enterprise valued control and ownership of land. Culture of belonging valued empathetic relationship to animals. Culture of enterprise valued control and ownership of animals. Belonging valued self-restraint. Enterprise valued extravagance and exploitation. Belonging valued conservatism, and enterprise valued change. Belonging, deliberateness. Enterprise, recklessness and speed. Belonging, balance. Enterprise, momentum and high risk. Belonging, expressiveness. Enterprise, secretiveness. Belonging, generosity. Enterprise, acquisitiveness. Belonging, mutuality. Enterprise, hierarchy. Egalitarianism versus competitiveness. Affinity for alternative modes of knowing versus rationality. Playfulness versus business-like sobriety. Inclusiveness versus exclusiveness. Nonviolent conflict resolution versus aggressiveness and violence. Spirituality versus materialism. In the culture of enterprise, opportunity arises from inventiveness, curiosity, and industry. Thus, the values associated with enterprise became dominant as people were drawn to these opportunities for inventiveness, curiosity, and industry. And the values of the culture of belonging, which was based on relationship, were relegated to a lower status. Flinders says, so powerful was the emerging culture and so magnificent the promises it held out that it simply took over. A culture of belonging ceded to a culture of enterprise. One way of seeing the world was closed down. Flinders also describes how we got religion along with the culture of enterprise. When I was thinking about how to prepare this lecture, I really wanted to include something about the values in the spiritual life and how they relate to the economy of indigenous peoples. And I I was looking for that. I actually found it in Flinders' book. And I want to read you a couple of quotations. Flinders writes of the spiritual life of indigenous people that pre-agricultural people didn't imagine that they were masters of the world. And that may have been why they didn't imagine their gods to be their own masters. The keen sense of mutual reciprocity that defined one's relationship to the natural world defined one's relationship to the sacred as well. God was multiple, fluid, and everywhere. God was the earth. And because the earth went on feeding us when we'd left our mother's breasts, God was mother. Indigenous people typically see themselves as embedded in the sacred, living in intimate, reverent connection with the earth. Places one within a circuitry of the sacred, in which something is understood to flow from nature through oneself and back into nature. To live in attentive harmony with that flow is to open oneself to mystery and power. The culture of enterprise requires us to elevate ourselves above the spirit-filled local ecosystem. For this, we needed a new concept of divinity. In the first two chapters of Genesis, which tells us that God intended humans to have dominion over every other living thing, gave us our new concept. But this idea is completely opposite to the values of belonging. So God also underwent a transformation, becoming masculine and supreme. As wild earth was banished, belief in an immanent God, God who's everywhere, eroded steadily. God was relocated to the heavens to oversee things. Flinders says, what was needed from God was a firm hand, a king and a judge who would inspire fear and compliance in people who had never really learned as hunter-gatherers to be subject to anyone. The values of enterprise promote disconnection from nature, from other people, and from spirit. As the new religion developed, the possibility of experiencing the sacred directly vanished along with the intimate connection to the earth and its life forms that had nourished spiritual impulses in the past. From here on out, humans could reach God only indirectly through intermediaries. Religion became a new and discrete category of experience, impersonal, institutionalized, and thoroughly governed. But the values of the culture of belonging are so intrinsic to who we are as human beings that they could not be completely discarded in the new culture. Religion and women became the guardians of these values. Both humanity and our major religions developed a neurosis, compartmentalizing ourselves as we tried to live by opposing sets of values. So some values went with women and religion, and others went with business and making a living. And we try not to notice that they're in conflict. In 17th century England, the founder of the Religious Society of France, or Quakers, George Fox, as a young man, was feeling very disillusioned with the religious structures and practices of his day. And he went on a search for God and for someone who could explain spirit to him. He found his answer by circumventing the church and going directly to personal experience of the Spirit, and also to finding that in the Bible. And the Religious Society of France, which he founded, Quakerism, is based on both individual connection with spirit and with belonging to a group that seeks spiritual discernment together. I think that being Quakers helps us to live the values of the culture of belonging in a society that honors opposite values. Many Quaker writings describe the mystical experiences of finding the immanent God and experiencing spirit in every aspect of daily existence. This, however, threatens the culture of enterprise. No wonder Quakers were persecuted when we were a social movement. All my life I felt that like I don't belong in the culture around me because of my keen awareness of immorality in the economy. But I've never been able to find a way out other than living below the official poverty line, which does limit one's participation. I've always wished I could be part of a social group based on the values of the culture of belonging. Although it's only within the last year that I have a term to describe that. Thanks to Carol Flinders. Finding Quakers at the age of 26 was as close as I came to finding a social group based on the values of the culture of belonging, and I regret that we are so few and far between.